where Laura and I have been hanging out for the past few months while we're waiting for our next assignment, which, by the way, is coming up, and that's all I have to say. So stay tuned. Pastor Steve Graff is, well, he may not be now. If you don't know, today was the installation service for Pastor Chad Jamerson. He is about to become the new pastor at Kingdom Life, and so I bring you greetings and honor both Pastor Steve and Pastor Chad this morning. And I also want to honor Pastor Gary Smith for his invitation to be here. I don't take it lightly when I get to be behind the pulpit in somebody else's church, and so it's an honor for Laura and I to be here. I'm so thankful that Laura's here with me today, my biggest supporter, amen, and so it's great to have her here. So this morning, I want to talk about kingdom functionality. For the past couple of weeks, we've not been home. We've been at other churches, and at the last church I was at, actually the last 2 weeks, I have started a series on kingdom things, kingdom building, really. And so the first sermon that I preached was on kingdom positioning and how important it is that we get into position in the kingdom. And I took my text from 1 Peter in chapter 5, where it says this. It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he will exalt you in due time, in due season. And so there are four things that contribute in that verse alone to getting in proper position in the kingdom. Why? So that we can begin to do the things that God wants us to do. We cannot stay in our own place. We cannot stay in our own position, but we've got to take a kingdom position. And so in that verse, that is one of the things that we talked about on that day. The second last week sermon that I preached was on kingdom priorities. That one was a little more fun. How many people know you got to switch from your priorities to kingdom priorities? If we continue to do it our own way, if we continue to have our own priorities in front of God's, we're not going to be able to do anything that God wants us to do. And so we've got to make sure that we switch from ours to the kingdom's. And out of that scripture, Matthew chapter 6 was where I found a whole list of things that we need to do to switch over into kingdom priorities. And Jesus taught and modeled a whole list of things. So if you're taking notes, you can write that down too. But today, we're going to be talking about kingdom functionality. So kingdom functionality is the next block in this series, because if you and I are going to get it done on earth as Jesus instructed, we need to find out what that looks like. We need to find out what kingdom functionality actually means. But the problem that the modern day church has had and still has, if you look around hard enough, is that the church is in an identity crisis. The church has no earthly idea, no heavenly idea either, for that matter, what and who it is. And if they do know what and who they are, they probably think that it's not important enough to be doing it. So you can decide for yourself what category you find yourself in. It looks good on paper. Looks good in the Bible. We can read those verses. We can hear sermons all day long. But are we actually taking it to heart? Are we actually doing it? When it comes right down to it, the church has found itself in a situation where there is a disconnect between itself and what God says we are and how we're supposed to function. It's not fun to think about that, but it's true. So in this sermon today, there are three things that I'm going to look at. There are more than three, of course, but three things that we need to do in order to function properly in the kingdom. So the very first one is walk in power. It is important that the church walks in power. We were never meant to be just this little timid little mouse that just sits here and sings a few songs on Sunday morning and listens to somebody run their mouth for 20 or 30 minutes and then go home. That is not the function of the church. But today, the reality is that that is, in fact, the function of most churches. And it's bad. It's not a good position for us to be in. Because we have a job to do. The church does not exist to sit here and look pretty on the corner of the block. The church doesn't exist so that we have a social club to go to on Sunday morning. The church doesn't exist so that we can have tea and crumpets before we go in and gossip sessions on the way out. That's not what the church function is. In fact, when Peter talked to the Thessalonians, we'll go to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 1 and verse 5, and look what he says. Take your Bibles, turn there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. And Paul says here, he says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only." The word is good. The word is great. We need the word. But there's more. He says, "But also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sakes." As Pentecostals, we love the book of Acts because we see all of these things, all these signs and wonders and miracles and fun things that we see in that scripture and in that passage that the apostles were doing. Well, guess what? The gospel that they were preaching was being authenticated by the acts of power, by the folks in those situations that were actually walking it out, walking in power. And this church and the church down the street and the church across the way, we need to be walking in power. But the problem is that what has taken place is that there is a counterfeit church that has taken the place of a kingdom church. It's powerless, it's limp-wristed, and good for virtually nothing because we come in here and sit in here and we pray for people and we like it in here. But can I tell you something? We got to be doing acts of power out there. We can't be just doing it in here. In here, it's safe. In here, it's nice. In here, listen, we'll lay people hands on people all day long. We'll pray for people all day long in here. But go out there, that's a whole nother thing now. That's a whole nother thing now. But Jesus, guess what? When Jesus was here, he hardly did any of the workings of miracles and power and stuff inside the temple or around the temple. Hardly ever. He did some, yes. But most of his stuff was outside. Most of his stuff was somewhere else. Most of his stuff was where the people are. He went, and everywhere he went, there were acts of power. Why? Because he was Jesus, yes. But he also knew what he carried inside of him. He carried the Holy Ghost of God inside of him, and he knew it, and he used it. Can I tell you something? The same Holy Ghost that Jesus had inside of him, we have inside of us if we say that we're believers. The minute we get saved, all of heaven's power comes and dwells inside of us in the person of the Holy Ghost. But the modern church won't access it. And I'm not sure why that is. There could be a whole bunch of reasons for why that is. But we're going to look at something real quick. Let's go to Luke in chapter 10 and verse 19, because I want you to see this. We all know this passage of Scripture, but I want you to see this. Because Jesus talked about us walking in power. And he said this. He said, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you." Folks, that is the church supposed to be walking in power. That is people who are supposed to be accessing the Holy Ghost and walking in the power of God. We have got to return to the original plan if we're going to see revival and the great awakening that God wants to bring about before the return of Jesus. You know, everywhere that Jesus went, demons recognized him. Everywhere he went. Everywhere Jesus went, people got healed. Everywhere Jesus went, people got set free. Everywhere Jesus went, the atmosphere shifted. How about where we go? Do people get healed when we walk into a room? Do people get set free when we walk into a room? Does the atmosphere shift when we go somewhere? It can. This is not a fairy tale. This is not good for Jesus and not for us. No, no, no. This is kingdom functionality. This is a mandate given by God himself for us to be able to function the way that the kingdom of God was set up to do. Jesus said, "Pray this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." How many sick folk you think are in heaven? None. How many devils you think are in heaven? None. Okay then. So if we're praying to bring the kingdom here on earth, it should look like something different than it looks now, yes? That's normal, right? Okay. So far, so good. You having fun yet? Quiet bunch in the house this morning. Good heavens. All right. So, part of kingdom functionality is we need to be intentional about everything that we do. We have to intentionally seek to do kingdom things. And we have to look through the lens of what God has purposed to accomplish here on earth. And then partner with him to get it done. So it's not just that we say, well, let's just let God do it. No, no, no. We're supposed to be doing it. When he gave the Great Commission, That word, you break that down, it's co-mission. That means there's more than one person doing it. That means it's the Holy Ghost and you. And the Holy Ghost and me. We're supposed to be doing it together, not by ourselves. Because the minute you try to do it by yourself, you'll end up like the seven sons of Sceva. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Ben Embry, I know. Who are you? That's not good. You don't want to be in that place. We have to take this thing to the people. And it's not easy to do that. Listen, I had a situation just a few days ago. Some of you will know, but most of you don't. I've taken a job driving a non-emergency medical transport company position, so I drive people around all the time, and I was down in Columbia a few days ago, and I had this young lady in my car, and she got in, and she handed me a piece of paper with instructions on it to where I was supposed to go, and she pointed to her ear. This young lady was stone deaf, and she was sitting in my car. Now, you would think that that would be the perfect opportunity for me to pray for her In fact, I was thinking to myself as I was driving, wouldn't it be cool if God would open her ears and she received a miracle? Well, I didn't pray for her. I didn't even ask her if I could pray for her. I just thought to myself, inside of myself, wouldn't it be cool if? Talk about kingdom functionality and not doing it. Why do I bring that up? Because I don't want you to feel bad if you're not doing it. Because I don't always do it either. God gave me an absolute perfect opportunity to see the power of God, to see a miracle in that woman's life, and I didn't take it. Now, I can spend time feeling bad about that, or I can say, all right, God, I'm going to pray for her now because maybe you'll send somebody else, right? And I'm going to learn from this and say, God, please give me another opportunity, because be assured, the next opportunity I get, I'm taking it. I'm not going to miss the next one. But sometimes we do that. Sometimes we just, you know, we hear these sermons, we get all fired up, and we go, yeah, that's us, we're supposed to do that, blah, 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 blah. And then we get in the car with somebody who actually needs something, and we freeze, we fold like a deck of cards. Pitiful. And then we say, God, please bring revival. Can you imagine the revival that may have happened if I had prayed for her? God opens her ears, and then she goes and tells everybody, let me tell you what God did. Just like in the book of Acts. How about that? Imagine actually doing it. So please don't feel bad if you're not doing it. This isn't about, you know, how horrible we are and how awful it is and you know, how much we're not. It's not about that. It's about God making us aware that we have these opportunities and that he is expecting us and asking us to partner with him here on the earth to get it done before he returns. So don't go out of here feeling all condemned and guilty and feeling bad and all that stuff. Don't do that, because that's not the intent of this sermon at all. Number two. So number one, we got to walk in power. Number two, we need to walk in holiness. Let's go to 1 Peter in chapter 2. 1 Peter and chapter 2. We're going to start reading right at verse 1. And it says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, me too, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and this doom they were also appointed. Verse 9, here's where I want to zero in, right here. But you, me too, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For once, we're not a people, you were, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So in verse 9, that word chosen, the Greek word for chosen there is ekletos. That's where we get the word for elect. A similar word that we know is the ecclesia, the called out ones. We know those words. But what does it mean? It means that God has handpicked you and handpicked me to function in the kingdom. Verse 10 told us that it wasn't like that in the beginning. Remember, in the Old Testament, until Jesus came, there were Jews only, right? And the mindset of the Jews, right up until and even after Jesus came, where there are Jews and everybody else that should be. That was their mindset, because they know still that they are God's chosen people. Us Gentiles, do we know who we are? Do we know that we are God's chosen people? Do we know that we've been set apart? Do we know that God has moved us from here to here for a reason? Do we know that God is wanting something different for His chosen ones, for His elect ones, for the ones that He called out from among them? There is something special about somebody who decides that they're going to be a disciple of Jesus. And that's the other thing that God's been doing with me lately, is that, you know, I have come to discover as of late that there is a big, big difference between somebody who says they're a Christian and a disciple. Because a disciple will do things a Christian or somebody who says they are will never do. A disciple knows that they're called out. A disciple knows that they're chosen. A disciple knows that they have an assignment. A disciple knows that they have something on the inside of them. A disciple knows and will do things that somebody who just says, I'm a Christian, will never ever do. A disciple will walk in power. Why? Because they know who they are. They know what they have inside of them. And so holiness comes with that. Holiness is a dirty word around church these days, let's be real. Let's face it, right? You go to a lot of churches, especially this new breed that's coming up now, here's what happens. You go into the building and they turn all the lights out in the sanctuary, right? That's the first thing they do. And then they turn on the laser lights and the spotlights, and you might get a smoke show or some crazy thing, and then they start playing all the same songs that everybody else is playing, and they call that worship. Well, Pastor Dave, you can't judge them like that. Yes, I can. Because they say they're on the inside. They say they're believers. Yes, I can. What is the fruit that's being produced by all of this stuff that they're doing? Now, maybe there isn't anything wrong in and of itself if they want to do it that way, but here's my problem, is that if we're called out from among them, if we're called to be holy, if we're called to be different, then there ought to be something different walking inside of their building than the club they were in the night before. Huh? If you go into a sanctuary and it looks like the club down the street, how good is that? It's not good, because there are people who need to see something different. That's what this whole thing is about. That's what kingdom functionality is about. It's about being different. It's about doing different things in a different way. It's about being separate. It's about walking like you are chosen. It's about walking the way that we're supposed to. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. That's what he said. Let's go to 1 Peter in chapter 1. You don't believe me? We're going to read it. 1 Peter in chapter 1. See, holiness isn't popular anymore. You don't hear preachers talking about holiness anymore. It might offend somebody. Guess what? I'm here to offend somebody. And every pulpit that I stand behind between now and the time that Jesus comes, I'm going to offend somebody, because I'm going to tell you that holiness is the order of the day. I'm going to tell you that being separate is the order of the day. I'm going to tell you that walking in power is the order of the day. I'm going to tell you that we better start functioning the way that Jesus told us to, or else we're going to miss it. If that offends you, good. I don't care. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to start reading at verse 13. Here we go. Some people never heard me preach before. They're going, who is this nutcase? That's all right. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. It says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Whoop. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's why I love that song, Lead Me to the Cross, that we sang this morning. The other one that I really love is Better Is One Day in Your Courts Than Thousands Elsewhere. Ben, I really appreciated those songs. And the reason I appreciate them is because that's where we are supposed to be found. We're not supposed to be found huddled up in here doing nothing. No, 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 no. We're supposed to be doing. But in the spirit, we got to go to the cross. In the spirit, we got to be found in the courts of heaven. In the spirit, we got to be connecting with the mighty Holy Ghost of God, so that everywhere we walk, we start walking and we start stomping devils. Everywhere we start talking Bible. I'm talking about devil stomping, Bible believing, spirit walking, tongue talking saints of God. Come on, somebody. Come on. Verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. See, you can't very well blame unsaved people for doing unsaved things. You can only blame your neighbor who's sitting down the row from you if they say they're a Christian and they're doing it too. Whoop! But if you're going to do it in love. And be careful, because Jesus said if you're going to judge them, you're going to be judged too. He didn't say you couldn't. He didn't say you couldn't. He said, watch out if you do. Read your Bible. Only God can judge me. Man, all right. Verse 15, but like the Holy One who called you, here it is, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Why? Verse 16, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Peter didn't come up with that by himself. That was a mandate from God himself that says this is what my people are supposed to look like. They're holy. They're righteous. They're walking in power. They have authority. They know who they are. They're speaking to devils and telling them, you got to get out of here. They're walking in the anointing. But before you do all that, you got to get some holiness. Because God can't pour oil into a vessel with holes in it. That ain't the holy we're talking about. Huh? Ain't this fun? All right. I think that's okay. So that's it for that one. So be holy. Yeah. So to recap, before we go on to number 3. We got to walk in power, and we got to walk in holiness. It's one more thing we got to do. There's more, but this is the last thing. We need to use the weapons that God has given us This is number three if you're taking notes. Let's go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So that what that tells me is that there are strongholds somewhere that we're going to be responsible for tearing down with the weapons that God has given us. Doesn't that stand to reason? Right? And so the weapons that God gives us are not our own. These are spiritual weapons. These are heavenly weapons. Weapons that we can only receive when we get in proper position, when we put kingdom priorities ahead of our own, when we decide that we're going to be a part of what we call now kingdom functionality. Kingdom builders know where the weapons closet is. You'll find it in Ephesians 6. That whole armor of God. Those are the weapons that we get to use. Not only those ones, but also we get to use prayer. We get to use the name of Jesus. See, we've been equipped with everything that we need to get the job done. We've been equipped to do everything that God wants us to do. We just have to make up our mind that we're going to do it. And so the challenge for you and for me today is really very simple. The challenge is, are we going to be kingdom builders or not? Are we going to function the way that the kingdom of God expects us to function or not? Are we going to use the power that God has given us? Are we going to get holy so that we can be able to walk in the way that God wants us to? And are we going to use the weapons that God has given us to use? Next week, I'm going to preach on Kingdom Agenda. That'll be the fourth one in this series. So if you follow me on social media, you'll get to hear what that is. So this morning, like I said, I don't want anybody feeling bad because they're not doing stuff or they missed opportunities or whatever, because I did it too. But we have an opportunity now to do better. We have an opportunity now to step up to the plate, because now we've been given a little more instruction. Now we've been given a little more knowledge. Knowledge is power, they say. Well, now that we know, we're responsible for it. And so my encouragement to you and to me is that we go out here and find somebody to minister to. I'm not talking about telling them about Jesus. I mean, if you get a chance to do that, yes. But I'm talking about walking in power. I'm talking about kingdom functionality. I'm talking about getting it done in the spirit realm. So there are people out there who are addicted. You know why they're addicted? Because they get devils attached to them. We have the power to get those devils off of them. We do. We can walk down to anybody on the street anywhere if we know who we are, if we're in the right position, if we're walking in holiness, and say, "All right, devil, you've had your time. Now it's time to come out." Jesus said. I'm not telling you. Jesus said it. You have to do it, he said, because it's his authority that I'm using. Not mine, it's his. Jesus said, "I've given you the authority," yeah. But ultimately, it's his and not ours. But that's our mandate, y'all. Isn't that good? That's good, isn't it? So I'm going to pray for some people if you need prayer this morning. I did hear in the spirit that somebody here, I don't know who, but somebody here I heard chronic headaches. I'm not talking about just one or two. I'm talking about chronic every day. You're having headaches every day, every day. Who is that? Would you? Okay, if you're having chronic headaches, I heard that in the spirit. Come up here. I'm going to start praying. Honey, will you bring that oil and come help me pray, please? Ben or somebody, if you guys will just put some music on or something, that'd be great. If you have a prayer team that you want to include in this, you can. That'd be great. But I'm just going to pray for some people. I'm just going to be obedient to the Lord and pray. Nope, I heard chronic. So almost every day, to me, that's chronic.